And so he's in the class today, but Jeremiah's now 7 years old. And I'm just so thankful for him. I'm thankful every day of my life for him after what he went through 5 years ago. And God's just blessed him. He's actually got a little height on him now. And he's got little bird legs like I do. And he's the jokester. He's seven. Daniel just turned 24. And yeah, praise God. And I said last service I wasn't going to say what my wife's age is, so I'm going to leave that alone. But actually, she looks good for her age. She is, you know how many years old she is? And you won't either. I'm not going there. Today we were on this series talking about Satan's lies, but Pastor Chris asked me to tell a little bit about what we're doing. When I left here 3 years ago, we went up to Santa Cruz and pastored at a church there in Santa Cruz, one of the pastors, and homeless people used to come to our church. So we weren't able to support ourselves through tithes and offerings, so what we did is we made banners for churches, Pastor Tuck and I, and that's how we supported our church. And I've never been able to get away from homeless people. 1978, I was homeless in Fresno, sleeping on a courthouse lawn, when went to a rescue mission 3,000 miles from home. And went to a rescue mission, and 25 years old, heard for the first time that Jesus Christ had died, rose from the dead, and why. Had never heard John, I never remember hearing John 3:16 before. Didn't understand these things. And that night, the light came on. The Holy Spirit said, "Receive Christ now." I did. I stood up, and my addiction, the burden, the guilt, my filthy mouth, it all was gone. And I knew. And God let me know what my call was that night. And so God did that, and I guess I'm just going to be with homeless people the rest of my life. After 17 years of being at that mission, I was going to stay there 6 months. It ended up being 17 years. And then pastoring the last 14 years, I didn't think I would be back in rescue mission work. But 7 months ago, God directed my wife and I to come back and to take the Madera Rescue Mission. And we've been there for almost 8 months now, and it's pretty nice. We got a 92-bed men's facility where we can feed and house men. We have 34 beds for women and children. We just opened our brand new shelter last week. It's a real nice women's shelter. And then we're also able to house married couples with their children in apartments that we have, very nice apartments that we have. So. We feed 6,000 to 7,000 people per month, and we sleep a lot of people. So I sleep about 2,000 people per month. So I guess that's just who I am. You know, God makes us who we are, and when we find who we are, that's where we thrive, because that's where the Spirit of God releases God's power, and then the touch on people's life is for eternity. You know, he said, "We bear fruit, and our fruit remains." So that's where we are, and we live right on property. So it's always action going on every day. And I think I missed that the last 14 years. I mean, working in a church as a pastor, there's a lot of action, believe me. But when you whiff the homeless, it's drama all the time. And I just like it. I thrive on drama. I thrive on, wow, there's trouble, and we got to see what God's going to do. I just thrive on that. I'm one of them crazy people. But God made me that way. And so I did what Pastor Chris told me to tell you guys. And I just want you to know that the people who are at our women's shelter and men's shelter hear God's word every night, 365 days a year. Christians come in and share God's word, share music, give people an opportunity to receive Christ. So the same opportunity that was afforded me 31 years ago is afforded to men and women and children today. So I'm excited about that. Anyway, we're here on this series, Satan's Lies. And Satan's got a lot of lies. And he's been at it a long time. He's perfected his craft. He's got his lies down. He's got tailor-made lies for everybody. One of the lies that we'll be talking about today has to do with payback. When somebody does us wrong, paying them back for what they've done to us, especially when we've been hurt, abused, in whatever form. There's just this tendency in us to want to get back, to strike. And The thing is that there's a possibility of being overcome by evil, even for people who are sincerely trying to follow Jesus. Amen. When someone does us wrong or hurts us, we can either overcome the evil by doing it God's way, or we can be conquered by and defeated by the evil that is done to us. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And like I said, there's this tendency in me, and I'm sure in some of you, that when wrong is done to us, we want to strike back. We want to hurt in some way. It could be physical harm. It can be ill treatment. Just how we treat a person, diss them or what have you. But it can also, one of the ways we strike back with revenge is not always, if we're a Christian, we're going to do it the Christianized way. We won't go hit them or hurt them. We'll just talk about them. Slander them. Ruin their reputation. On the job, with their friends, or what have you. Even ruin a marriage. Slander. James says it's murder. Says in his book, Jesus called it murder. Says murder actually stems from a root called anger. And if you're angry with your brother and don't get it straight, murder can be the final result. But the seed is there. And anger is like a dragon. Revenge is like a many-headed dragon. It can be anger. It can be hate. There can be unforgiveness that's deep-seated within us. But the fire out of that dragon's mouth is revenge. Revenge in whatever form. As I said, physical, way we treat a person, or the words we say to harm them. I don't know about you, but there's times when somebody's hurt me real deep, I've even found myself where I would say something to them intentionally to hurt them. Anybody here ever done that? And that's a form of revenge. Now, why do we do it? What's the immediate payoff when we strike back? Well, immediate payoff is we feel better. I just told her off, and we feel better. We feel like justice has been served. We feel like they got what they deserved, what was coming to them. But what's at stake when we strike back is that if we're a believer later, our conscience is going to be bothered. We can ruin a lot of people's lives. And I'm going to read a verse in a minute from Romans chapter 12 that'll kind of cover these things. Many families, churches, businesses have been ruined because someone was hurt and didn't handle it God's way. And rather than overcoming evil with good, they allowed evil to overcome them. It can cause separation. Friendships can be damaged to the point of never being friends again. Lifelong friendships even. There's so many things that can happen when we strike back. The fallback, there's always a fallback from a payback. You can strike, and you can feel like you paid them, but there's always a fallback. The issue of revenge is just another one of Satan's lies by which he tends and seeks to trap us and ensnare us. So I want you to go with me to God's word in Romans chapter 12. And I want to pray first because I want us to be in agreement as I ask the congregation in the first service. I want you to be in agreement that whatever God says through the word, you are going to respond to him and obey him. Because if you wait till you hear the word to make a decision whether you're going to respond to the word, then that's not faith. As a matter of fact, that's a wrong attitude. God, our loving Father, wants us as his loving children to respond to his love. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that when we do His word, He has our best interests at heart. He wants us to know that when we do His word, we allow our future not to be disturbed, but God to fulfill the future and destiny He has for us. He wants us to trust Him. And you know what? He deserves to be trusted. Because everything He's done so far is just good. And I'm not talking about my life. I'm talking about since creation. Everything God does is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He doesn't change. He only does good. Even when we don't understand, He's doing good. And God's going to speak some good things to us through His word this morning. But we have to make a decision. Am I going to trust Him? And if we'll make the decision that we're going to trust God whatever He speaks to us, that opens our heart. That's an atmosphere of faith that opens our heart. For when that word comes, we not only receive it, it does its work right there, right where we're sitting down, right where we are. It'll deliver us, empower us, guide us, strengthen us, impart wisdom into our innermost being. That's the power of the word. We sang that song, Your Name is a Strong and Mighty Tower. I tell you, when we come with the word in Jesus' name, there's power. There's power. And it happens right where we are. We go out changed. Sometimes we recognize it. Sometimes we don't know it's happened until the week's gone by and we realize, man, I'm changed. I'm responding differently. I'm not acting like a monkey. I'm acting like a man. I'm acting like one of God's children. You see, we're God's children. I'm glad. I'm sitting there doing communion. I'm just glad. I said, God, I'm glad to be part of your covenant where you don't remember my sins anymore. You forgive me. And you said, I know you one-on-one and you're my teacher. I'm so glad I'm a part of that covenant because of the blood that was shed, that I know you, God. I hear your voice. I can follow you. And I'm part of your body, your people. That's what I was thanking God for there. I'm so glad. Let me pray. Are you ready to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do?
Yes.
All right. And if you're not ready, at least be honest enough and admit it to God. He can even help you then. But you got to be honest first, okay? So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as your word comes forth, your word, may the power of your name be released into this audience and into our hearts. May we hear your voice and may we say yes, like Mary said, when you said the Holy Spirit will come on her and form the baby Jesus, she said, let it be unto me according to your word. Father, we say today, according to your word, let it be done unto us. We say yes, and we agree with your word. We will put it into action in Jesus' name. I say amen.
Amen.
All right, now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, knock his teeth out. No, feed him. Leave his teeth in so he can bite the food you give him. Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But God, things are happening to me. People are hurting me. Somebody has hurt me. Somebody hurt me for years. God says, don't be overcome. Don't be defeated by their evil. Overcome that evil by doing good. What? God's saying, I've given you a way of escape out of that temptation. I said in my word that with every temptation, I will give you a way to escape so that you could endure it. You could bear up without sinning. My way of escape when someone does you wrong. Yes, it's unfair. Yes, it's unjust. But I'm a just God. I'll deal with it. But what I'm calling you to do as my child is to represent me accurately on planet Earth. It's kind of like God would say, you're my son, or you're my daughter. You're the salt of the earth.
That's right.
You're the light of the world. You say, but Lord, the world's so dark and people are so mean to me. He says, that's why you're the light. That's why I left you here. We sang, if I could only imagine. And one day, that's what we're going to be doing. But right now, God says, I got you on duty. I left you here to work for me in the earth. Accurately represent who I am. And then he says, so Paul is telling the believers in Rome that they're not to do wrong back to people who wrong them. That they're to do everything within their power to live at peace with everyone. Not just, okay, I'm not going to get back at you, but now go do something to bring terms of peace. As one verse says, when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he can even make your enemies to be at peace with you. And then he also says, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of others. You know, when somebody does me wrong and then maybe I go and strike back at them, when other people don't know about the wrong they did to me, so when they see me strike back, guess who they say is the guilty party? Me. I look like the one who's starting something. Uh-oh, I fell right into the enemy's hands. I played right into the enemy's lie. Somebody started a fire, and I'm adding to the fire. Instead of doing it God's way and quenching the fire. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of others. You got people, I got people in our families maybe, on our jobs, in our schools, that we just love them. God's put them on the heart. We want them to come into a relationship with Jesus. How we respond to things will have a lot to do with that. We can share with them and pray, and we got to do that. But also they're watching what we do and what we don't do. When somebody does us wrong in an arena like that and we respond with good, we can actually quicken the process of that person we've been praying for coming to know Jesus. Or we can hinder it. The enemy doesn't want them to know Jesus. The enemy doesn't want you and I to have God's best for us. So he tries to ensnare us through another person doing wrong to us and getting us to react out of our nature rather than react out of being God's child. I guess you could say respond in obedience. Brother Ray, were you? Bless you. Bless you, Brother Ray.
Amen.
So he says, and then Paul uses a verse from the Bible and showed them that God commanded them not to take revenge. And the reason was, he says it's his responsibility to avenge those who do us wrong. So God's saying, you're out of your jurisdiction when you do someone wrong. He says, I've set myself up as the judge. I've set myself up as the one who will bring about justice and fairness. So when somebody does you wrong, God says, I know about it. Come and bring it to me. I want you to do good. Be my representative. But I'll take care of the matter. Don't you trust me? And every time I take a matter into my own hands, what I'm really saying to God, and this helps me so much that I don't really struggle with this anymore like I used to, is the fact that when God says it's his responsibility to be the judge, I realize now whenever I take matters in my own hand, it's unbelief. It's not just anger and revenge, it's unbelief. It's I do not believe you're going to handle this matter in the right way. So therefore, Jay's going to handle the matter. The thing about God is when I do that, God doesn't say, I'm going to stop you from doing that. He lets me. And the very thing I'm looking for to happen, looking for justice to be accomplished, never happens because I got in the way. I'm out of my jurisdiction. I'm handling a matter that only belongs to God. Then I'm like, God, how come you never, it's been 3 years, you never got the guy back? He said, oh, you took care of the matter yourself. It's God's responsibility to avenge those who do wrong. And he gives his word that he will do it. He promises. He gives his word that he will avenge the person who does us wrong. That's why I said it's unbelief. I believe his word. And I believe you do too. But when you get ticked off at somebody, you just kind of don't think about the word. You got your sword and you think about one thing. Stick them, stick them. You stuck me, I stick you. Here's the problem. They stick me, I stick them, God says now. Since I said I will avenge the person who does wrong, since both of you did wrong, I now will judge both of you. He's not a respecter person. He didn't say if somebody does us wrong, he's just going to avenge them for doing wrong. If we do wrong back, that's evil. He will also get payback from us. Set up. The enemy wants you set up. He wants me set up. He doesn't want me to have that sweet fellowship with God where I hear his voice and I have his wisdom and I'm guided by him. He wants to trip me up. And he will use somebody who's weak and doesn't understand this to strike at me. Just being a puppet in his hands. I must recognize I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I must realize he's just a puppet. I got to go to the one who's pulling the strings. And God says the way to overcome him is by doing good to the puppet. Defeat the puppet master. Defeat the puppet master. I get my eyes on the puppet. I strike at the puppet, and now I'm a puppet. I'm not to be a puppet. I'm representing Jesus. I'm a puppet lover. And a devil hater. But a lover of people. He says, leave room for my wrath. Make some room for me to deal with this. Handle it your way, there's no room for me to deal with it. Had an incident happen at that shelter this week. The director hasn't been on a vacation in 7 years, and so told her, go ahead, take some time off. So she's off. The girls are doing a good job there. We got women and children. We got men with children there. And we got some ladies, most of them may come out of prison. They're on a 13-month discipleship program. They're doing well. And so they're kind of in charge now. So the other day, there was a guy in one of the apartments, him and his wife, and their little boy. And I guess he had been starting to abuse her. She came and told my wife. My wife called me. I was in the office. We always know, just stay calm. God protects us at the mission. And I told her, okay, allow her to go ahead and call the police. Well, we didn't know that the husband would find out about it. So evidently, while she's there on the phone, he comes rushing in, no shoes on and everything, realized she's calling the police. She just wanted the police to allow her to get her belongings and leave peacefully. She wasn't, you know what I'm saying, trying to get him arrested or anything like that. She also knew that he had a felony warrant back in Arkansas. Okay, and so she's trying to do things, I guess, the peaceful way. Get away. He realizes what's happening, snatches her purse. The police are on their way right when he snatches the purse. So they pull up. He runs down behind the buildings, and then one of my girls there, whose dad was an ex-pro football player for the 49ers, lady is taller than me. The lady can whip me. I looked at the muscles in her legs. I ain't going to try to outrun her. She said she locked eyes with him, he locked eyes with her, and she took off after him. Man, she's running. So he gets away, so the officer's there, the lady's all worked up. We're trying to Google her how to get back to Wyoming and this and that. And so the officer's there, and they got the little search going on for him. And so the girls were there, and she was telling me, I locked eyes on him, and I was going to run after him. And I said, listen, I want to say something to you. It has nothing to do with men and women. I said, but you're a bunch of women. And I said, when you're screaming like that and a guy's going off, you're getting ready to start a big fire here. Somebody could get hurt. He could come back again and attack him. You have to stay calm. You pray to Jesus and use wisdom. And we have to teach these things, because I remember when I used to get all worked up, we'd see somebody with a weapon or what have you, get all worked up. We learn how to handle that now. We learn that in 17 years that I was in Fresno, not one person was ever hurt. Guns taken away. FBI come in during the chapel services, take out murderers, take out people been running from the law. Never once have I seen somebody. Knives taken away. Never once have I seen any worker, any volunteer, any person comes from a church to the mission ever hurt, except one time. And it was a guy named Chuck. I'll finish the other story in a second. It was a guy named Chuck and a black guy named Charlie. And Charlie was there that day, and Charlie was drinking, and so he was not cooperating, and so it was Chuck's duty to ask him to leave because it would cause a big disturbance. We'd sleep up to 140 men there. And so he asked Charlie to leave, and the thing was, God always would favor us, and Charlie left, and Charlie walks out the door. But then Chuck goes, sticks his head out the door, and going to run his mouth. Charlie spun around, stabbed him in his side. He didn't die. God was teaching him a lesson. So I'd been there for a while now at the mission, and I'd seen all kind of deaths. I'd never seen so many deaths in my life. All kind of things. But I said, God, why? I said, I thought you protected us. Why did this happen? And God just put in my mind and taught me a principle that he says, I did. He asked Charlie to leave, and Charlie left. I demonstrated my authority. But then Chuck went and took matters in his own hands, and I put my hands behind my back, and I went, oh, got it. When you say you're gonna do something, let you do what you're gonna do. But if Jay want to get involved, you'll let me, but it's gonna hurt. I can destroy things. I didn't know. I'm telling her about I go back in the office, I'm Googling for the girl. God did it. Just what we were trying to teach the girls. The man, police there and everything, just comes walking up with the purse, turns himself in, just quietly. And that girl I told you about, the football player's daughter, she said, she turned and saw him. She said, I locked on him. And she said, I remember what you said, Pastor. And I backed up. And she was in awe, like, God does take care of it. I said, he always does. We never have to freak out. I go, the reason sometime when those situations happen, and I've seen people get hurt, it's because they respond in emotion. And the flame, and then people are out of control. And then, the worst things can happen. And I've learned, if you stay calm, if you stay calm. When somebody hurts you, your emotions are... I'm black, so you can't see when I'm hurt because I don't turn red. Some of you guys, I can tell you hurt, you go, I'm all right. And I'm going, you ain't all right, man. Your head is about to explode, dude. You're more red than Santa Claus. Come on. You're matching that shirt you got on. But see, me, I can be cool. Black people can be cool. No, it didn't bother me at all. Man, he killed 5 people. What happened? We thought he was so quiet. Yeah. Just couldn't see. Here's the thing. It happens to us all. And it can happen to the best of Christians. You can even be careful with some people, and then that one person does something or says something, and it can set you off. And then you feel just terrible later. I've had that. You feel so guilty and terrible later. God, why did that person set me off? I don't know why that is. But we have to be on our guard. God not only says leave room for wrath, let him handle it. They were commanded by God to meet any legitimate need that their enemy had. He's hungry, give him something to eat. He's thirsty, give him something to drink. We get to practice that at the mission. Hey, the God never obeyed the rules. He cursed us out and this and that. Is he hungry? Yeah, feed him. Feed him. What, he's violent, we can't let him stay? So you can't let him stay. Feed him. That's a legitimate need. Hey, talking about they're thirsty. Give him something to drink. Cold. And then they criticize me. You're letting people run over top of us. No. We don't run over top of God. When he says he sends the rain on the just and the unjust and the sun on the good and the evil, nobody's getting over on God. He's just being good. He's just being good. And the Bible says that even when we're doing wrong, God is good to us to bring us to a change of mind. Repentance, to a change of mind. A lot of people think God just keeps doing good, so I must be doing all right. No, sometimes he's just doing good to you because he's trying to show you his goodness in comparison to your badness so that you go, you know, let me straighten up. And that's what happens when you do this. When you treat people good, it can help them to come into a relationship with Jesus or come back to a relationship with Jesus if we handle it his way. You see, he says, by doing so, you heap burning coals on your head. One young lady, she's just starting to investigate Jesus Christ. I gave her these verses and she was looking and I said, what's that mean to you? She said, you shock them. I said, shock them? I went, man, that's the best translation I heard of that so far. Pouring hot coal, you shock them. And she told me an incident where somebody had messed up her entire high school years, gangs and what have you. And then when she saw that same gang person at her graduation from high school, she went and hugged the girl. She did good. She did good. And good wins over evil. Somebody said, well, I'm a fighter. Then learn to do good, real good. Be a good fighter. Be a fighter of good. Remember that? Nah, y'all, that dates me. There was a cartoon called Dudley Do-Right of the Mounties. You remember Dudley Do-Right? He always did right. I like Dudley. Let's be Dudley. Somebody do us wrong, just so I'm Dudley Do-Right of the Mounties. I will do you good the rest of my life. You got to do good. You got to outsmart that enemy. We were taught in school. We were taught by Jerry Springer. We're taught by all these other people to fight back. We're taught to just expose everybody's mess in front of the whole public. We're taught to get back. We're taught to talk all that trash in front of everybody to try to hurt somebody. My friend, we are believers in Jesus. I don't even watch Jerry Springer and that stuff because that stuff, all it does is feed what used to be. And it's not according to the truth of who I am in Jesus. So I don't waste my time. I'd rather listen to somebody tell me how to do good. I'd rather listen to somebody who talks about being merciful. Because the Bible says if we're merciful when we stand before God, and it says he's going to be merciful to us. Amen? I've done a lot of wrong. I've needed a lot of mercy. And if you've only done three things wrong, you don't know what I'm talking about today. But if you know you've done wrong and God's still been good to you, you know you've done wrong and God still used his word to help you, you know you've been wrong and God still lifted you up and gave you more than you deserve, he says, now I just want you to do that with others because I'm doing the same thing in their life. You overcome evil with good. The man who helped me at the mission when I first came to mission. He used to always say, he would talk about when you obey the word, he was 78 years old, but he would raise his fist up and he said, "That's a black eye for the devil." He loved to see the enemy defeated and God get the praise. He taught us that. Don't be overcome by evil anymore. Overcome the evil with good. If we would take revenge, we're conquered by evil. And as I said, then God would have to repay us because we too are doing wrong. 1 Peter 3 says this, "Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, that you will inherit a what? Blessing." God has good stuff in store for you and me as his children. And he wants us to inherit that. And we got to be careful, because with revenge, we can actually hinder that good future God has for us. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment before I end. We're called to inherit a blessing. God's got good stuff for us. The enemy wants to trip us up when somebody does us wrong so that we can mess up and not experience the full blessing of God. Samson didn't experience the full blessing of God. He had the great anointing of God, but he never stopped messing around with those girls. And finally, when God says enough's enough, he got his eyes plucked out. He couldn't look at no more girls. He got his eyes plucked out. And yet God was gracious to him even in prison and allowed him to fight one more victorious battle in his death. God loved that boy. God was merciful to that boy. But he never overcame that. And it brought destruction to his future. God doesn't want our future to be destroyed. He doesn't want the enemy to win out. Let's give a black eye to the devil. Let's be like the saints of old. My son would tell me, "Calm down right now." Jeremiah, he said, "Calm down, Dad." How many of you love life? How many of you want to see good days? Few of you. "For whoever among you would love life and see good days must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech." Can't talk about the person, can't be bringing it up, can't be running them down. And you can't lie on them either. Turn from evil. What's turn mean? It means you're going this way. You got to turn now. What he did to me. And God said, "Turn." Turn. Turn from evil. A lot of people go, "Okay, I turned from evil. God, I'm your man. I turned from evil." He says, "No, now do the next step. Do good." Uh-oh. Now I lost you. You're like, it was hard enough for you to convince me don't get that person back. Now you're telling me to do good to him. Why would God tell us to do good? Because that's what he does. If anybody's been praying to have the kind of love God has, this is how you get it. When you start acting in the love that he has, then the Holy Spirit deposits and forms in you and constitutes in you the love of God. Do good. Find something good to do to the person. I watched that mother when that guy was in the police car, and now the guy says, "We got to extradite him back to Arkansas because he has a felony charge." And the guy's sitting in the back, and he says, "Can I just see the little boy?" And the mother, having been just been abused by him and the little kid, she let the man see the boy, and the boy sees me. I went, "Wow, she's doing good." She's doing good. That guy turned himself in because Jesus touched his heart. When people do us wrong and we do, we can shock them in a good way, that they begin to respond to the voice of God, to his Holy Spirit. When people do us wrong, It's an opportunity to put them on your prayer list. You might be the only person praying for them. But God knows if they do somebody else wrong, the person might kill them. But he knows if they do you wrong, you're going to do good, and you're going to put them on your prayer list. God might even pick you to be done wrong because you're going to respond like his son did. He trusted his son on the cross. He knew when his son was done wrong, though he could call 12 legions, he wouldn't. He wouldn't call the angels. He would obey his father and lay down his life. He would do good for those who were killing him. And even as God, I don't even want you to press charges when he said, forgive them what they do. He's saying, God, I'm not even pressing charges. We can have a wonderful life. And we can see many good days that God has for us. We turn from evil, do good. We seek peace and pursue it. And look at this. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Somebody say, God's watching over me. God says, if somebody does something to Pastor Roger, God says, I got you covered, Roger. My eyes are on you. I know about everything. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. How many of you want God to keep on attending to your prayers? God says, when people do you wrong and you do right, he says, I'm watching over you, I see the whole thing, and I'm hearing your prayers, and I'm going to answer those prayers you make. What a way to turn it around on the enemy. He stirred up people to have Jesus crucified, didn't know by having Jesus crucified it would defeat him forever. He stirs up somebody to come against you and me, and now we not only forgive him, we start doing good things for him, and then we're praying for him all the time. It just turns it around. Come on. Turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it around. The people on Springer say, do it this way. God says, flip it. Do it this way. Do it this way. I think I was telling in the first service, was it the first service or this service about when somebody's messing with your kid at school? First service. And we teach them, don't let nobody take advantage over you. Yeah. And then we have our devotion at night. Jesus said, love your enemies. Kids grow up all confused. But when we teach them how to pray for the bully. Now, I teach them, you don't have to fight the bully. You told dad about it. I'll take care of that. That's my jurisdiction. I'll go talk to the proper people. But I want you to pray for bully. And I want you to be bully's friend when nobody else will be their friend. So I'm telling my son what to do. And I'm taking care of the other man. God tells us, do good. I'll take care of the other. So a bully at school, man, don't that rile you up? Somebody messing with your kid at school? My wife used to get more ticked off than I did. I'd have to calm her down. Is that true? I say, calm down. Go take on the whole school. I go, we're Christians. We're the pastors in this town. Lose my job, everything, knowing it's gone. Come on. Moms are like that. I'm telling my, hey, moms are like, whoo, don't mess with the kids. And you handle it. And God says, I'll handle it. Here's your part. So you said today, I'm going to do what God's word said. He said, do good. To do good, that means you got to first forgive. Oh, said that word, huh? Forgive. What's forgive mean? I'm not going to deal with you. I'm leaving it in God's hands. And I'm going to go on living my good life for Jesus and seeing the destiny he has for me accomplished. Good word. In the meantime, I'm praying for you that you be a part of that too. I'm not against you. I'm for you. If you keep doing a person like that, they finally get tired of doing you wrong. They be like, you messing with my head, man. It ain't no fun doing you wrong no more. I'm going to pick on the lady over there. I do you wrong, I hear you over here mentioning my name. Jesus bless his marriage, bless his wife. I'm going to stop doing you wrong. So you stop praying for me. His ears are attentive to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Before I end it today, I want to talk about, there's a story in the Bible that kind of illustrates this. How you can be doing so good and then in just a flash of a second, somebody do you wrong and you can almost ruin your whole life. And it happened with a guy named David, King David, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here's the scenario. It was a man named Nabal. He was a very wealthy man and he had property in Carmel. Not the Carmel in California. It's over in the Mideast. And he had 3,000 sheep and he had 1,000 goats. And he was just extremely wealthy. And the Bible says he was a surly man. He was mean in all of his dealings. But it says his wife was named Abigail. She was a wise woman, used good judgment, and she was very beautiful. What a couple. And so it says that Nabal had his shepherds out, and David now was out in the wilderness running from another king named King Saul. Just before this, King Saul had been looking for David with 3,000 men wanting to kill him. David was hiding in a cave. King Saul goes in the cave to tinkle, and while he's in there, David cuts off the edge of his robe, and his conscience smites him, and he said, and God says, don't touch my anointing. Here's a man that had been hunting him down, wanting to kill him. The anointing was already off of this king and now on David. David could have said, the anointing's on me. I should rightfully take it. And David's men were in the cave going, the Lord's put him in your hands. The Lord's delivered him to you. Take him out. And David said, sharply rebuke them and said, I will not touch the Lord's anointing. He went against the flow. All them Jerry Springer guys was in the cave with him. He went against the flow. He said, shut up, Jerry. And he went against the flow. He went against the flow. And so when Saul goes out of the cave, he still doesn't know David was in there. And David holds up and says, hey, King Saul. And he says, is that you, my son, David? He said, you're more righteous than I am. The kingdom will be yours. You've done right and I've done evil. I won't chase you anymore. And he went back home. But later he went after him again. David, who knows how many years he ran from this man, but he did it God's way. And God was watching over him. Right after this incident, he tells his 10 guys, they had been watching over Nabal's shepherds, a wall of protection around him. He didn't let any of his men, David had 600 of the baddest soldiers around. He didn't let any of his men disrespect them. He didn't let any of his men take any of the sheep or the food or anything. He did good to Nabal. So now it was time for the shearers, the shearing of the sheep. And it was a feast time. And Nabal had a big spread for everybody. They were going to shear the sheep and they were going to drink the wine and they were just going to have a good time. It was party time. And so David sends 10 of his young men, says, go to Nabal and tell Nabal, have long life, Nabal, and speak blessings over Nabal and say, Nabal, while your shepherd's been out here, we've been a wall of protection. We haven't disrespected him or anything. He says, you got a big feast coming. This is an opportune time. Please give us whatever you want to give us. And he looked at them and he talked to them in the meanest voice and he slandered them and he insulted them and he insulted David and everything. And David's 10 men, them bad soldiers, went on back to David. And they said, David, here's what he said. And David said, strap your sword on. 400 men strapped swords on. And David strapped his on. And he says, God, do so more to me if by tomorrow he has one male left among all he owns. David's going to kill everybody. He's mad. He just forgave the king who'd been chasing him for who knows how long. But when this guy insults him, it was like, it's over with now. He disrespected me. He done dissed me. This godly man's getting ready to ruin everything. He's even getting ready to kill innocent people. So what happens? Nabal's wife hears about it, Abigail. And she goes, oh no. So she goes and she fixes all his food and everything. And it says in verse 26, it says that, she came and he's coming down one side of the mountain and she's coming down another side and they meet together. And David had just said, I've protected this man's stuff for no reason. He's done me evil for good. I'm going to kill everybody. And right when he meets her, she gets down on her knees. She humbles herself. She talks to him. She talks as his servant. And then in verse 26, she says, and now my Lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands. She's saying, God is sending me. I see you're hot. I heard you're going to kill everybody, but the Lord is now using me to help you not to do that. Not to be guilty of murder, which is a bloodshed, and not to avenge yourself. Both of these are wrong. God says vengeance is his, and you're not supposed to murder. David was getting ready to commit both crimes. And she says, and with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. His name means fool. She said anybody who's against you is a fool. Because God's the one behind you. And she says, and let this gift which your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the men who follow. She had brought a lot of food for his men. So she did good. She said, please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord because you fight the Lord's battles and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. She says, I know the prophecy over you. I know the prophecy is true. I believe God's word. God's got a dynasty for you and now evil won't be found in you. You were about to mess it up, but I'm here today as a servant of the Lord. She prophesying to him. She declaring to him what God has said will come to pass. She says, even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, she's talking about King Saul now, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away from the pocket of a sling. She said, God's going to take care of King Saul and he's going to always love on you and keep you safe and keep you alive. I like this lady. This is a woman of God. She said, when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler of Israel, may my Lord not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or having avenged himself. She's saying, if you do this, David, you've been spotless till now. God's got a future for you. If you do this in your future, your conscience will bother you every single day that you killed innocent people and that you didn't trust God and you took matters in your own hands. My friends, it would affect his future. My friends, when somebody does you wrong, forgive them. Allow God to deal with it and do good that he puts in your heart and stay safe and overcome evil with good and let your destiny be secure because your life belongs to God. He knows everything that's about you. He knows everything that's happened to you and will happen to you. And he's got a good plan for you and me. Don't let diablos trip you, trap you, by allowing you to fight fire with fire. Quench it with his love. Quench it with his goodness. Quench it with faith in God. People talk about you, they hurt you. It's like fiery darts from the wicked one. But when you trust in God, it's called a shield of faith, and it'll quench every fiery dart the enemy throws against you. Don't look at the puppet. Pull down the puppet master by doing good. Pull him down. Put on the armor of God. Keep trusting the Lord. He will avenge. He will repay. And when the Lord your God has brought success, remember your servant. Look what David's in ending. Look what David said. Praise be to the Lord. The God of Israel has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Go to verse 35. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." Make a long story short, her husband was drunk that night. She's so wise, she ain't talked to him. Don't talk to drunk people. She ain't talked to him. She waited till the next day when he was sober, and she said, "Here's what happened." He realized what he had done and realized what had happened, and it says the Lord struck him. I guess he had a stroke and he was paralyzed for 10 days. And then it says the Lord took his life. God handled it, didn't he? Now that don't mean if you forgive somebody today, they're going to die in 10 days. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong spirit. Because King Saul chased him for years, and then the Lord took care of King Saul, but he let it happen for years, and this one, he took care of it quick. And that's sometime where we have that tension in us. We go, "Okay, I'm letting you handle it, but it's been 2 years, it's been 3 years. You're slow, God." And God says, "No, I'm righteous." I guarantee you some people in here that can share their story that God dealt with you for years and then he finally got you to come in agreement with him and he delivered you. And I bet other people were going, "You too slow with him. You too slow." And God says, "I know what I'm doing." We got to end. Verse 39, I'm going to end on this verse. When David heard that Nabal was dead, guess what he said? "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing harm, and he has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head." Now, if the Lord hadn't have done that to Nabal, David still was not going to strike back, because he knew that that woman's word was a word from God, and he wasn't going to throw away his destiny, his relationship with God, having a clear conscience so he could still function with anointing and in faith. Because when your conscience is bothered, the Holy Spirit has to use all his energy to convict of guilt. And you can't have the visions. You can't have that touch from God. You can't have that anointing from God that you need, because all the strength is being used to convict you of your sin, to take care of the sin. And so God wants to keep us from even having to go through that. He wants us to stay sharp with him, in tune with him, in touch with him, anointed by him, empowered by him, imparted with wisdom from him, so that we can accurately represent him and do good in the earth. Look at the person next to you. Say, "Be a Dudley do right." Pastor Roger, I'm going to ask you to come up at this time. And Pastor Roger's going to come, and I think, there they are. I'm going to just turn it over to you, Pastor Roger, right now.
Thank you, Jay. Can we stand to our feet? You know, when the truth is spoken and you don't apply it, it just becomes words in your ears. It doesn't negate the fact that it's truth, but when you don't apply it, it's just words. God is calling us to act upon his word, to take a step of faith. You know, when Jay was talking, he says, "Don't repay evil for evil." How many of you were thinking of people that had done you wrong? People that had done evil to you? Anyone? Can you? Yeah, see, that goes through our mind. And maybe some of us are even thinking, "Ooh, I fell. I tripped because I did say something evil. I did get back at them." And there's been a conviction. You know what? God is faithful to forgive. He will forgive. He will restore. But if you choose not to, then God will have to deal with you. This morning, we don't want God to deal with us. We want God to love us. We want God to pour his grace out upon us. Somebody asked the prayer teams if they would come forward. And as they do, this morning, God wants you to take a step of faith. If you have harbored ill feelings against somebody that's done something wrong to you, you've kept that in your soul, the evil that people have done to you, and you even thought about, how can I get back? What can I do to get even with them? God is faithful. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive. But if you harbor it, you could take it home with you and not apply the truth that's been given today. You can take it home, but God will deal with you. It's much better to bring it to the altar and let God remove it. So I want to invite you to come to the prayer teams are here. We've asked the worship team if they would just sing again about the name of Jesus. So as they're singing, I want to invite you to come for prayer. The rest of you, you are dismissed in the Lord. If you go quietly while the others are coming for ministry.
Jesus, in your name we pray.
Power to save.